Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
A big thanks to our guest today, Anthony Herron, who is always fantastic. Thanks to Christopher Dickens, who is sitting in for Rick Camp today. Thanks to the executive producer, Tony Gill, a.k.a. Tone, a.k.a. Tony Two Bags, a.k.a. Tony has done it again. Tomorrow, if you're an AEW fan, Cody Rhodes is going to join me at 1 o'clock on the show. So make sure that you're here. We did the interview this morning. It is phenomenal. And I cannot wait to share it with you on tomorrow's show. Taking you the rest of the way on a Built for Tough Bears Monday is the McNeil and Parkins Show with Hub Arkish in for Danny Parkins. Hello, men.
Hello, Lawrence. Good to see you. Danny's his voice is a little thinned out. He talks a lot, and he attended a bachelor party over the weekend. Oh. I have to think that both of those things in combination ruled him out today. So I'm very glad Hub was able to. And Hub may not be 100% himself, but he's playing hurt, and we're going to be on until 6 talking Bears football.
Got to tape it up, Hub.
Well, fortunately, no bachelor parties recently. I can tell you from experience, that's a very bad combination. Bachelor parties and talking a lot, that doesn't usually work well for radio.
No, not too often. Lawrence, I feel similarly to how you described your emotions after the game when you started today. I have very... They didn't do anything I didn't expect them to do. The Bears were who I thought they were going into the game. And you can say what you want about the Giants being a bottom feeder defensively. I tried to warn Parkins about this regarding a bet with the Bears on Friday. The Bears also are one of those lower tier teams offensively. So it nothing really surprised me. And I saw more positives than I saw negatives.
Some
of them didn't count. Some of them got negated. The long pass to Robinson, it's unfortunate that there was a hands to the face by Cody Whitehair on that play, but that was the right call. But there were some sparks. They showed some flashes yesterday. That's a step. A step is a positive, right?
I thought that one of the bigger steps that came out of the game is that we actually saw Nagy building off of some of the things that the quarterback does well. Like, oh, launch point change, boot.
Yeah, move
him out of the pocket.
Move him around.
Boot him out. Have him throw back across the field. I thought I saw some of that like evolution in understanding there are things that your quarterback can't do. The things that he can do, do more of it. And it gives you a better chance to win. I also had a good chuckle, and we spent a lot of time talking about this on the show today. Hub, I'm so glad that you asked the question of Matt Nagy last week about giving up play calling. He took it as an affront to play calling when you were talking about handling everything else that goes on a sideline during a game. And that sequence after the Mitch touchdown was driving me insane. Yeah. Because that's one of those times where someone has to take control, where you have to call a timeout. Even though you were thinking about the 2 minute, the 2 point conversion play, then you have the pick play. Then you're arguing about the pick play while you have personnel issues where someone runs in on the field. Like, it's stuff like that where it's not necessarily him calling plays, but it's, does he have a mosaic focus? Is he looking at everything instead of the thing that he thinks he was brought in here to do?
You know, it's so fascinating sitting here, and I know you get to on Sundays too, but sitting here with Olin and Patrick in the morning and then Patrick and Big Cat after the game, because we're talking about specifically that. And it was Cat who got kind of passionate about it last night and said, you know, when you see that stuff, that is the player's fault. It's not the coach's fault. It's the player's fault. I guarantee you that they ran through every one of these scenarios on Friday or Saturday walkthroughs, that they had they've got a 2 point ready list for the game. You know, they've got that silliness where they run the punt team on the field. I mean, other teams
Why
do
are they
it.
Still
I,
doing that?
Well, it worked this time, actually. You know, I don't get it. But all that. But Kat's point was, okay, so you've seen it, you've practiced it. The players aren't executing it. Now, when that's not happening, The head coach in the moment has to do something about it. But I think this head coach is focused on his next play caller, buried in the play sheet. And I talk to Danny about this every week, it seems it comes up. I'm an Aggie fan. I like more than what I don't like of what I've seen. But that's what this whole play calling thing is about. I'm not pretending I know the right call on third and five better than you do. But I do know that while you're spending the three plays prior getting ready for it, there's other things happening on the football field. And that's where some of this stuff I think is getting missed.
Hub, is there a precedent with a guy who struggled with some of those game management things and got here locally with the Bears? Somebody who had like too many things are spinning around him and focused on the next play call, be it offensively, defensively, but got better at it? Because that is something that surfaced several times in the last few ball games, and it's not a good trend. It's a bothersome trend.
There's nothing that occurs to me in recent years, because I mean, you go from Ditka to Wani to Geron to Lovey. They all had strong coordinators on both sides who were running their units, and they were being the head coach. You know, Mark Trestman came in and he was the offensive guru, but even he wasn't. I don't even know if he called his own plays. Now that I think about it, I'd have to look back on that. But no, I've never seen anything quite like this. Where I think that he was brought here to bring this offense with him. He was brought here to develop Mitch. So you can't get upset with him for all of that. But on game day, he is responsible for the whole football team.
What upsets me, and what I think ultimately has the potential to be his undoing as a head coach, is he doesn't seem to, a year and 11 games into this, seem to understand the value of running the football. And it's the 2.5 yards per carry. It's 11 games with David Montgomery and still wondering what the hell they have in this second round pick that frustrates. And I'm just not sure if it's in his DNA. I think if he could have his druthers, he would abandon the run from pro football. There wouldn't be a running game. You'd only throw it. I don't see any consistent commitment to doing that well.
Well, I understand where you get that, but I don't know that I completely agree. I mean, there was a really damning stat yesterday that you got to dig a little bit to get at. Everybody saw the 26 runs for 64 yards, I think it was, or something like that. And that's awful. But the 26 runs, I mean, that's pretty much par for the course. It's not like he's not trying to do it. But if you look at that stat sheet, you'll notice that both Tariq Cohn and David Montgomery had a long of 13, and then Mitch had a scramble for 12. If you take out those three runs, now you've got 23 runs for 27 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you run the ball 23 times?
So they don't even get to the point of attack before they got guys draped on them.
But Mac, here's my problem. I think he knows he's got to run the football. We've been talking about this since midseason last year. I mean, this was a topic halfway through this great season last year, and I keep coming back to this twice. I think it was week 10 or 11, again week 15. Matt himself at the podium on Monday said, you know, we as coaches have got to step back and make sure that we have a good feel for what we're trying to do with the run game and how it fits in our offense. And here we are a full year later, and it still doesn't fit in the offense.
What are you guys going to do on the show today?
We have Boomer Esiason scheduled to visit with us for his usual 3 o'clock hit. He gets to watch the Giants every week, so he's plenty up to speed on that. And we'll probably get off of the Bears and Giants for a little bit, too. There were some other big games in the NFL yesterday, and there's another big one tonight.
Watch that shellacking last night.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that quite a bit. I couldn't have imagined Aaron Rodgers having a night like that. But Brian Bulaga, who's having an all-pro year, gets hurt. And they can't protect him. He didn't have a chance against that San Francisco defense. So we'll do a little bit of that. I will be one guy who celebrates Frank Gore's ascent to number 3 among all-time NFL rushers. I would assume Hub has some respect for the man.
Oh, he's one of my heroes.
Yeah,
we had a nice little discussion about him in the green room yesterday of the football after show.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Polarizing?
A little bit.
Yeah. You know, I understand the phrase counting stats, but at that position, tip of the cap, man. To stay in one piece long enough to get to number 3.
Considering how he came into the league?
Yes, his knee was blown out before he ever put on a San Francisco uniform.
He tore both knees in college.
Right.
And unbelievable what he's accomplished.
It's crazy. Alex had a big issue with it, and then Matt was like, wait a minute. Like,
yeah,
look at what he's done.
Right, right, right.
And we kind of went back and forth with it, and Alex made the point, was there ever a point
that you thought he was one of the three best backs in the game?
Probably not.
But that's not the point.
That isn't the point.
Yeah,
I mean, not for me.
There's a lot of guys who played during a time when there were great players who also played in their leagues.
But then we then looked up, and there was one year where I think he was third in rushing that season. So we were having a little bit of fun kind of going back and forth with him. Guys, where he rushed for 1,700 yards one year.
This one feels so simple to me, though, because the bottom line is he went by Barry Sanders yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The only two guys in history who've done more in the National Football League are Jim Brown and Walter Payton. I don't care how he got there. What's
Emmett.
The debate?
Emmett.
Oh, I'm sorry. Emmett Brown and Walter Payton. Well, and of course, Jim Brown hadn't retired early. He would have gone there, too. So I always lump him in. But no, you're absolutely right, obviously. But whatever it is, look at the company he's in. I mean, you're talking Walter Payton, Emmett Smith, Barry Sanders.
Right.
Throw in Jim Brown if you want.
You know what?
And Frank Gore. You know
what I've always loved about Frank Gore, and he's still, I think, it's a stupid thing, but you guys are both football guys. You'll get it. He knows how to get small at the goal line. He understands how to get small.
Yes, he does.
You need 2 yards. I got you. Yep. I'm gonna launch and then get down and get into the end zone. I love watching Frank Gore play.
Hang tight for 1 second, Lawrence. One more item. You're listening to WSER and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. I got Hub up to speed on your producer, Tony Gill, who had his second career steak last Friday afternoon. And I ran into him. He came back to the building. I saw him around 5 o'clock. And he's coming up the escalator. I'm going down, and I said, thumbs up, thumbs down, somewhere in the middle. He goes, it's pretty good. So you got an it's pretty good out of him. I don't know what the tab was, but you got an it's pretty good out of him. So it must have been better than his previous experience at Outback.
It was. It was much better. And we had a really good time. And it was just he and Campy were both a little fish out of water there. Like, they're sitting there kind of looking around, and they're like, this place is really fancy. You know how they're coming to clean off the table and all that stuff. Like, it definitely, and him looking at the prices, he looked up at me like, hey, you're paying, right?
That's like a Tony Gill question.
What's a good size strip there? $80?
No, it wasn't.
60?
For the lunch, on the lunch menu, I think it was like 45 or something like that.
So you got off cheap.
Yeah. I mean, we went all out. Yeah. Like, we went, you know, full sides and 2 desserts.
Cool of you to do that for him. I hope he gives up his boycott on steak or any other bad takes.
I think it's just if he ever gets to a point where that's something that wouldn't break him, I think he might try it. But he's, you know, and the young man's working his way up, and now he's got the new cool gig and everything else. So maybe he saves up for a night like that where he can go and splurge. But I'm more than happy to splurge with those guys, and I'm glad that they
good
enjoyed
leading,
it.
Good leading, man. Good leading. You have a great day. See you tomorrow, bud.
Yep, I'm going to go see Dave Wanstead right now.
Ah, he'll be fine.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.